So we all know that San Francisco has its fair share of problems. I would say maybe more than its fair share. It kind of takes up everybody's problems. But what is their solution to those problems? Fighting against crime, giving more money to law enforcement, I don't know, maybe better education systems that teach the importance of doing the right thing. No, they have a better idea, actually. A school that teaches drag. All about that and more today on The Michael Wilson Show.
From the American Beacon Studios, this is The Michael Wilson Show.
All right, so the official title is the Stud School of Drag. It's a nonprofit that was opened by an LGBTQ plus bar, the Stud Bar. Apparently, if you're gay and you live in San Francisco, you already know all about that bar. I knew nothing of this bar, but apparently it's one of the oldest queer-friendly bars in the entire area. And they decided to open up a nonprofit dedicated to teaching drag. A person by the name of Honey Mahogany. It sounds a little bit like a stripper, but it's a drag queen, will be the first headmistress. And in case you're confused, I will clarify that is a man. Honey Mahogany is a man. Well, okay, rephrase, male. I think I'm going to reserve the word man for people that aren't like that. The quote from Honey Mahogany on why they're doing this is very simple. He says, to preserve San Francisco's rich drag history. They wanted to create a school so that people could get a unique sense of the history of drag. The curriculum is going to be centered around both the performance side of it and the history of it. So, you know, they'll have historical classes and tradition classes and all that. Then they'll also have the performing side of it, where how you actually participate in drag shows, stuff like that. Now, currently, you must be 21 plus to enroll. We'll see how long that lasts, of course. They're going to be teaching people how to market, how to do makeup, how to perform. Because according to the first headmistress, that just isn't easy. Apparently, the things that go into drag require schooling, because being a drag queen is so incredibly hard on people. And if you don't have a proper school to teach you, you'll just never know. You could go your whole life without figuring it out without this school. Can't catch my hint of sarcasm. I'm just saying that we shouldn't have a school. Okay. A few notes. First of all, it's a nonprofit, okay? And this is really ironic to me, and I haven't heard anybody else mention this, but for years, and I mean years, possibly decades, I have personally known people on the left who have told me over and over that churches should not be tax-exempt any longer. They shouldn't qualify because they technically have political stances, and I've had conversations with them where I said those aren't political stances, they're biblical ones, that's their religious stance, and just because a certain political party agrees with that religious stance doesn't make our statement a political statement. And for proof of that, the Bible was written thousands of years ago, and the Republican Party has existed for a couple of hundred years. So, no, a church does not make political statements. A church should not make political statements. The statements they make are religious statements pertaining to human life and to God. And if those statements just so happen to align with any side of politics, that doesn't make it a political statement. Beside the point, I just wanted to clarify, a lot of these people on the left have wanted to take away a church's tax-exempt status. They believe they just don't qualify. The problem is the fact that these same people are cheering that there is a nonprofit dedicated at teaching drag. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that right. The very same people that are angry that churches are allowed tax-exempt nonprofit status. You know, the places that preach love and Jesus and to do the moral thing. Those people that were angry that we didn't have to pay taxes are the same people that are very happy that if you're performing in degenerate, just disgusting behavior, that you are tax-exempt. They're hypocrites of the highest level. It makes absolutely no sense. Second, while it may be 21 plus, there's kind of like a couple of sub points here. While it may be 21 plus, first of all, it's California. So do we really expect it to stay 21 plus? Let's be real. look me in the eyes and tell me that you honestly expect this place to stay 21 plus given the cultural climate in a state like California. Now, for the sake of argument, let's say I agree that they're going to stay 21 plus, that kids will not be influenced. I have seen a lot of conservatives who actually don't care about this at all. And they look at me and they say, Michael, what? But it's not actually impacting kids because it's 21 plus. So consenting adults can do whatever they want. I hate that argument. Like, with a passion, because it's stupid. No, consenting adults cannot do whatever they want. There are things that are bad regardless of who's doing it and who says they're allowed to do it. Things are still bad. It's still immoral, and the government should still say you shouldn't do that thing. It's still bad. But not only is it still bad, but if you think that releasing more drag queens out into the wild is not going to affect kids, then you're ignorant of the facts, which is that for whatever possible reason, drag queens like kids. I don't know. Hey, I'm not speaking to their motives. I could speak to their motives, and I could probably tell you with almost full certainty what their motives are, but I'm not even going to do that. I'm just going to say, if we're going to pretend as though training more drag queens has no impact on kids at all, that just doesn't align with truth whatsoever. Because the truth is that, for whatever reason, drag queens enjoy reading to kids, enjoy kids, you know, things that are going on. They enjoy being in schools. So regardless of if this place technically is 21 plus, the effects and ramifications that it will have on those who are not 21 plus will still be existent. And to pretend otherwise just ignores reality. I think that it's really interesting that this right here, this is what San Francisco is focused on. Right? Because according to Neighborhood Scout, this is funny. San Francisco is safer than 2% of other states or of other cities, which means it's more dangerous than 98% of other cities. The chances of becoming a victim of violent crime in San Francisco is 1 in 186. The chances of becoming a victim of property crime is 1 in 20. The national median, by the way, of crime per square mile, like if you took the average of all the cities, the average is 26.8 crimes per square mile. 26.8. San Francisco's is 938. 938 crimes per square mile. And if you're going to look at me and go, hey, but, you know, it's a small city. So, I mean, it's very, you know, it's there's only so many square miles in it. So because it's a big city and a small technical area, the odds of crimes be you're no, dude, no. That would be reasonable if like the national median was 50 and this was 75, or it was 50 and this was 100. The national median is 26.8 and this city is 938. There's zero justification for it at all. On top of that, California has generally created new laws which allow for up to $950 to be stolen from anywhere and be merely a misdemeanor rather than a felony. It's no longer considered theft. It's just considered shoplifting if it's under $950. So there's lots of people that will go check items and steal $940 worth of things, knowing that worst case, they just, you know, they get a misdemeanor, which means very little jail time or maybe just probation. No other consequences. This is why we're seeing looting and everything going on. This is why 1 in 20 people are going to be victims of property crime in San Francisco. The number of videos I've seen in San Francisco of people like, hey, I just came to visit. I wanted to try this place out to eat, or I wanted to see this view. And I parked my car. I was there for maybe an hour. I came back out and my car was broken into. That story is not unique at all. It is everywhere when you go to San Francisco. I would urge nobody to go there. I would urge everyone to stay away from there. California also allows transition for minors with a law just a while ago. And we talked about it on my show that forces judges to side with whichever side of a custody battle is going to accept the gender identity of the child. It forces judges to give preferential treatment to that side. But this, instead of fixing all of those problems, instead of protecting children, instead of protecting, you know, law-abiding citizens, instead of protecting people from being victims of violent crime, property theft, you know, those statistics for property theft don't even include up to $950, right? Because that's no longer theft. It's just shoplifting. So if we include that, well, that number goes way up even more. We're not protecting those people. No, we're protecting criminals. And our focus now is on preserving the rich legacy of drag. Yeah, the rich legacy of degeneracy, which has existed since the beginning of time. Well, not quite the beginning of time, obviously. God created the world a perfect place. It was very good. And then humans screwed everything up. And since then, there has been rampant degeneracy, which we see here again. And as I've said before, regardless of if it's 21 plus or not, this is still bad. And I've said the same thing about porn, right? Because there's a lot of states around that are now banning porn for minors. I mean, it's already banned, but they're actually putting into effect that if you're online, you have to verify with ID in order for someone to access the website. We've talked about that before. But I've been on the boat that says, yes, but eventually we need to reach where porn is banned outright. Because regardless of if you're a child or not, does not give you the right to do something evil, right? Like, obviously it's worse when kids do it. Obviously, especially because they're developing, they're learning, they're comprehending differently. They don't have critical thinking skills. They're not mature enough. So obviously when a child does something immoral or is put in front of something immoral, it's worse, like porn or drag. But regardless of your age, when something is bad, it doesn't all of a sudden stop being bad. So I am huge on banning porn, on banning drag, on banning transgenderism widely and fully. And so when I see something like this, it's like, really? San Francisco has all of these problems, more problems than I could possibly have imagined, anyone could have imagined a decade or two ago. And yet their focus is, let's open a nonprofit dedicated to teaching the rich history of drag. It's ridiculous. All right. We all know about everything going on with Hamas and Israel. But just a few days ago, Hamas called for terrorist acts throughout the world, through the West, primarily. We heard about National Jihad Day, which was supposed to happen on Friday. As a Texan, I had zero concerns. We did everything like we would normally do on Friday. I wasn't like, no, we can't go out. We have to stay inside, board our windows, and keep our guns on our lap. No, we went out like normal people because I'm not going to live in fear. But some things did happen. And one such act was done in Long Beach, California. There was a Muslim man by the name of Khalid Yagobi. I think I'm probably butchering that name, but he deserves it. He intentionally rammed his vehicle into a crowd of people, killing one woman who was pushing a stroller and injuring at least five other pedestrians, as far as we know. On his Facebook page, other Islamists, other Muslims, were commenting, thanking him for what he did, saying that he died a proud death, honoring him. The kicker of all of this, because this is all bad enough, right? No, it gets worse. The FBI showed up and issued a gag order on local enforcement, telling them they couldn't release that it was a Muslim that did it, even though it was. The media, by the way, if you try to read up a news story on this, almost all of the major media outlets are their headline is something along the lines of a man booked for murder, which is technically true, obviously, but they don't mention his religious background. They don't mention his motivation for the attack. They just say it was a man booked for murder. A man rammed his car into a group of pedestrians, killing one woman, injuring five others, yada, yada, yada. They ignore the basic facts of the case, which is crazy because imagine with me for just a moment. Close your eyes. Unless you're driving because you're listening to a podcast, so you could be driving. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. Pretend that you're closing your eyes in that case. And imagine that the person who perpetrated this crime was a white guy claiming to be a Christian. It would be plastered everywhere. And I'm not exaggerating. Everyone would be saying that Christianity is radical and senseless, and this was motivated by white supremacy and religion. Meanwhile, a Muslim commits a terrorist act. Muslims thank him for it. After Muslims called for people to do it. But oh no, we can't mention his religious background. That would be bad. He's just a man who committed murder with a vehicle. That's all we really know. I mean, come on. There's no proof. It's ridiculous. And actually, there's more than just that. So that happened in Long Beach, California. But if you come over a little bit to Colorado, a bridge collapsed in Colorado, which caused a train derailment, or vice versa, the train derailment, which caused the bridge collapse. Anyways, while we don't have all the information, we don't know anything for certain at the current time, it is certainly possible, according to local enforcement, that this is yet another example of terrorism, that the bridge was purposely collapsed. It backed up traffic. The bridge collapse caused an 18-wheeler to be trapped underneath. We don't know what happened to the guy driving it. What we do know is that both sides of the highway going north and south on I-25 has been completely halted. So you're having to detour around. And, you know, there's a lot of people saying, no, this wasn't a terrorist attack. Come on. If there was going to be a terrorist attack, be realistic, Michael. I mean, come on. They would kill a bunch of people. They wouldn't just collapse a bridge in the middle of Colorado. If you think that a terrorist's only goal is to kill, then you're very short-sighted. And I've said this for a long time. A lot of people who are very smart have said this. And it's why other countries have a distinct advantage. And it is that Americans, by and large, the West, by and large, thinks in weeks, days, minutes, hours, maybe months, rarely years. Religious groups like Muslims, terrorists, think in generations. And that doesn't necessarily apply here to the extent of generations, but it applies to the extent of, as an American, you'd think that, well, to end a war, we just need to attack, and we need to do this, and it's like, we're very short-sighted. When a Muslim, when a terrorist does something, there is a whole lot of thought behind it a lot of times. And so when you see a bridge collapsed, on the one hand, you could say, well, it didn't kill anybody, so was that really their goal? Well, maybe not, but it interrupted commerce to a large degree. I guarantee you there were 18-wheelers trying to get stuff to grocery stores, trying to deliver things that didn't get delivered. So by and large, they did a lot of damage, regardless of whether or not someone's life was actually lost. Now, we again, don't know if this was another terrorist attack. All we know is that it could have been, and it would be unsurprising if it were. But this is becoming widespread all over the world. And I'm not saying that to fearmonger, because I'm not scared at all. Like, Hamas doesn't. I had a guy, I'm not even kidding about this. I had a guy on Twitter the other day. I commented about how Hamas were cowards for hiding behind children. That regardless of which side you're on, it's cowardice to hide behind kids in Gaza. And I had a man who in his bio said he was part of Hamas, who said to me, yeah, you're a coward. Why don't you come over here and fight us? I didn't reply, because there's just no point in talking to idiots. But I was just thinking to myself, I'm not a coward because I don't want to come fight in a war that isn't mine. But I can tell you right now, if you came into where I live and you tried to hide behind kids or you did this or that, you wouldn't leave. You wouldn't be leaving. Because I would defend my home, my family. And you know what I wouldn't do? I would not take my one-year-old son and my wife and put them in front of me while I aimed the gun. So, yes, Hamas is full of cowards, and I'm not going to backtrack. I'm not scared of them at all. Not even a little bit. They don't scare me. I'm going to continue to go about life as normal, and if something happens, I will defend my family to the best of my ability, and if I get killed, well, God has a plan for all of us. And I'm not going to live my life in some bubble of fear, wondering what could happen to me. It's not going to happen, and I urge that it wouldn't happen to you either. All right, going on with terrorism and more attacks, this is rough. So two Swedish nationals were murdered. In Brussels, a man who claimed to be an ISIS terrorist pulled out an AK-47 and just went on a shooting spree, which resulted in two Swedish nationals to be killed. The gunman was actually killed by police in the area, so he didn't escape, anything like that. There was a Swedish-Belgium soccer game going on, preparing for the 2024 season. I'm not a soccer person, so I'm not going to give you the details on what the soccer game was. All I know is that it said 2024 on it, and it was a soccer game between Sweden and Belgium. And that was where the two Swedes were going when they were murdered. So the president of FIFA has actually spoken out, and he said, "I am deeply shocked and saddened by the tragic deaths of two Swedish nationals in Brussels, close to the stadium where Belgium was hosting Sweden in a UEFA Euro 2024 qualifying match." Well, there's your details. "On behalf of FIFA and the global football community, I extend my deepest condolences to the family and friends of the victims. Our thoughts are with the people of Belgium and Sweden, their respective national team players and football associations. Since then, the Swedish flag at FIFA's House of Football in Switzerland has been lowered to half-mast as a show of respect for these two men. The kicker of all of this, the man who committed the crime, okay, the man who committed the crime was known to authorities to be an illegal immigrant and a human trafficker. I'll let that sink in for a moment. Now, that isn't to say that every single migrant that enters is some kind of mass murderer. But when Trump said years ago, if you remember back, I don't remember if it was on the campaign trail or when, but I had a lot of friends get up in arms about what he said. And he said something along the lines of that allowing all these migrants across the border is just letting in drug runners and rapists and murderers. And the left honed in on that for a long time and said, he's a racist. He thinks Mexicans are drug running rapists. No, you fool. He thinks that allowing in a vast number of illegal aliens will result in a vast number of rapists, murderers, and drug dealers to come over the border because the people that are unconcerned with breaking the law to get here are often unconcerned with breaking the law once they are here. And the same is true here. You know why that murder was committed? Because he made the decision, certainly. But you know what would have prevented his ability to make that decision? If Belgium wouldn't have let him in, or if, upon knowing he was in, would have actually put effort into getting him out. Bringing that back home, America has let in 3.8 million illegals since Joe Biden took office. Now, it's probably more than that. That's just the known number that we've actually, recorded. So it's probably actually much higher than 3.8 million. We don't know. We won't know the exact number. But for the sake of argument, I'll say that that's accurate. 3.8 million people. Many of the people coming over our southern border, if you've seen any videos of the migrant trains, are not women. They're not children. They're military age, fighting age males. And I've heard this refrain, and I think it's really, really kind of intellectually cool, which is when you're going away from war to something good, you send your women and your children first. When you're going away from what you've got to war, you send your young men. And so when we see huge trains full of young military age males coming across our southern border, you really should pause and think, doesn't that seem just a little bit weird? Why, yes. Yes, it does seem a little bit weird. Another interesting point is that the man who committed the murders in Belgium was Tunisian, which wouldn't mean anything to me or probably to you either, but it's interesting because that just so happens to be the number one place that boats are departing from to enter Italy right now, where Italy has now been forced to declare a national emergency due to the sheer number of migrants entering their border. So the people they're letting in, you got to know there's some ISIS terrorists there who are willing to shoot up people with an AK-47. So long as we continue, not just in America, although that is certainly our first priority, that is our priority, personally, like for us as individuals and for our government, if we look at it from a logical perspective, from a global perspective, as long as our world abides by this concept of open borders, of allowing people in, of safe shelter for people, as long as that is our priority, this is going to keep happening. Belgium won't be some freak random fringe accident. It will become common, normal, to be expected. Because when you allow people in that you do not know, that have no interest in your country, that are just coming in, likely you will find that at least some percentage of them are willing to commit heinous acts of evil. And that's what Belgium found out. And it's awful that they did. It is awful that the Swedes had to suffer what they did. But it is a direct result of the policy of countries like Belgium, like America, and like Italy. And it's going to keep happening so long as we keep allowing them in. All right, if that's all got you down, let's talk about the good news. And it's actually on a migrant topic right now. So Speaking of borders, immigrants, and all that problematic stuff that I just abhor, this is according to News Nation, which Governor Greg Abbott personally posted, so it's legit. Texas is expanding border security with new fencing, but the latest construction isn't along the southern border, but along the state's border with New Mexico. Texas National Guard members were seen installing razor wire along the Rio Grande River north of El Paso, Texas. The area around El Paso is fortified with fencing and wire as the city continues to grapple with an influx of migrants. Abbott's border initiative, dubbed Operation Lone Star, has also included empty shipping containers along the border of Mexico and creating a barrier made of floating buoys. The state is currently in court after the Biden administration sued over that floating barrier. Texas has also sent 50,000 migrants to sanctuary cities, including New York and Chicago, which are struggling to deal with the number of people sent from border states. Recently, President Joe Biden announced construction of new barriers on the southern border in Texas, going back on a campaign promise that no more border wall construction would happen under his administration. We've actually talked about that before. So basically, if that was a lot and it's kind of unclear, what's happening is simple. Texas has tried to secure the southern border in order to prevent illegal immigrants from entering, which we've actually done a pretty decent job at. The federal government has kind of stopped us at every turn. You know, we put up razor wire and they sued us and took the razor wire down, and then we put up more razor wire and they took that down. So really, we've been having to deal with a treasonous federal government, but we've done a pretty bang up job at protecting our southern border. Not perfect. The ones we do get in, we're trying to send out, but we're doing a decent job at it as Texans. Now, instead of just entering through the southern border that's more secure because of Texas, immigrants are coming through the less secure New Mexico southern border and then coming through New Mexico over to Texas that way. So now, in order to prevent that, Governor Abbott is constructing a wall between New Mexico and Texas in order to prevent that. Let me preface this by this good news by saying one thing, and that is that no state should ever have to put up a wall between itself and another state. That shouldn't have to happen, ever. There's literally no time where that should morally have to happen. But the inability of the federal government and other states in order to protect our border has led to this being a necessity. There's no debate of, well, we don't need to do that. Putting a border up between states, that just seems like messed up. It does, doesn't it? It does seem problematic that we have to put up a border between ourselves and another state. But it was necessitated by the federal government and by the other states that are not protecting us. And when that happens, we must do what we must in order to protect ourselves. Now, while what preceded this necessity is bad, and I just explained why, this is still good news, and I can say that I am extremely proud to be a Texan. I tell you, I lived in Virginia for a while, and apart from the cold weather, I just didn't like it there. We had family, my wife had family there, and we love them dearly, and I wish they, you know, we still lived near them, but I would not trade hardly anything for living in Texas, because I'm proud to be a Texan, which you don't find. I've never met anyone that says they're proud to be a New Mexican or a Virginian. Maybe there's some. But the level of loyalty that Texans have is just unmatched, globally, even. But I'm proud to be a Texan because these are the kinds of decisions that Texas makes consistently. And I've said that everything we've been doing is so important. And this is why. We actually have a stop. We actually have a chance at stopping this immense train of abuse. We do. Because look around. And we've talked about it on a huge number of the episodes of my show, which is that Texas has been doing a lot to prevent this crisis, right? We've built more wall, we've set up wire, we've set up floating barriers, we've hired more members of the Guard to protect us, we've started building a wall across New Mexico, we are busing out as many migrants as we can to so-called sanctuary cities that are mad at us for doing it, but it was a necessity. As long as we keep doing that, we have a shot. Look around at the world. We talked about it a lot today because it was just all over the news. But allowing such hordes of migrants literally never ends well for anybody. And to me, watching my state take such extreme measures to defend me, to defend my family, and to defend my state is something worth being proud of. Because I don't want what happened in Belgium to happen here. I don't want what happened in Long Beach, California to happen here. That isn't to say there aren't American citizens born and raised who are evil, who are going to commit murder or any other heinous crime. But some crimes are way more preventable than others. And protecting your border from those who wish to do us harm is one of those ways to prevent it, which is why I can say that I'm extremely proud to be a Texan. More importantly than me personally being proud, this is incredible news. And it kind of makes up for the migrants all over the world doing really bad things, because we're kind of stopping them as Texans. So the good news is just be a Texan. Yeah, that's good news. Texan. I'm good with that. I'm good with that being the good news. I'm a Texan. There you go. All right. We'll be back next episode with more good news. Until then, goodbye.